Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have the world-renowned conscious teacher, Peter Russell. Peter is the author of How to Meditate Without Even Trying and 11 other books, including Letting Go of Nothing and From Science to God. He is a teacher of meditation for more than 50 years. He believes the critical challenge of today is freeing human thinking from limiting beliefs and attitudes that lie behind many of our problems, personal, social, and global. He has inspired thousands through his talks, teachings, retreats, and popular online courses. In this show, Peter discusses what if meditation didn't require discipline, intense concentration, or hours of sitting still, but was actually something you could look forward to? He tells us the harder we try to meditate, the more we get in our own way. For when our attention wanders, we may concentrate harder to keep distracting thoughts at bay, but usually to no avail. The essence of the practice is to simply allow the mind to relax so that we can be more in the present moment.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, Peter, welcome to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you.
It's lovely for you to be here. Honestly, I've been looking forward to this one because, you know, I've been meditating for many years. So I'm going to just give you all the questions and I just can't wait. And thank you for writing your book, How to Meditate Without Even Trying.
Yes.
Peter, first of all, the first question that I'd like you to ask is, Peter, please tell us what meditation means to you and how meditation benefits all of us.
Right. Well, first, there are many, many different types of meditation. So the types I'm interested in, what it means for me is, I find just sitting quietly with yourself, sitting quietly with yourself. However, that sounds, oh, that's so simple. I can sit quietly with myself until you come to do it. And then you find, actually, it's not as easy. I get distracted. All these things happen. And so the book is really about how to deal with a lot of these distractions that get in the way of you just sitting quietly by yourself. Yeah.
Yes. And what are the benefits of doing that? What are the benefits of quieting that mind in that still mind state?
Yeah, many. First of all, I think just having a break, a mental break. You know, we're so busy these days, so many of us, and get busier and busier. And it's like having a mini vacation in like 15, 20 minutes. You know, people say, oh, I'd love to go on vacation, love to go on holiday, but you know, I don't have time. But you know, we can do that each day. And so that alone is good. It's just, it helps us unwind from stress. It brings us back to a calmer state of mind. It feels easier. We come out of the meditation like just feeling that much easier and calmer. So that's the sort of the immediate benefit right there and then. And then that has many effects through our lives. I mean, obviously we know how much stress is behind many of our illnesses. Mm. And if we can begin to release stress as it builds up during the day, just release that, it's going to have an effect on our health, on various areas of our life, on relationships, on creativity. But basically, long term, we just begin to feel better generally in life. We just feel better, feel more at ease, feel more contented in life.
Yes, definitely. When I meditate, I always, you know, I just go in and I just feel that beautiful light, that divine love light energy coming in, always coming in. And it just fills me up. And it's so blissful. You know, it's such a, if I don't do it every day, it's like I get out of alignment. It brings us into that mind, body, soul alignment, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. Yes, yes. I mean, the way I put it, like it's coming home. It feels like coming home to myself. It's like, here I am. Here I am. Here's my body. We become conscious of like just the simple fact there's a body with various sensations in it. We're so often We're so busy doing what we're doing, thinking, planning, worrying, or whatever it is we're doing, thinking, we lose sight of the body. We lose sight of the present moment. We're in some imagined world, talking about the past or the future or some complete imagined world. And we lose touch with it. And so just that stopping, I mean, as soon as you stop, there's the body. There's the body. And there's also maybe sounds around you, that sort of thing. But you're right, it's just coming back and bringing us back in alignment with our body, aligning the mind and body together.
Yes, and it's just stopping doing. It's being,
It is. It's absolutely.
isn't it? Being. It's like knowing thyself. It's like we cleanse our body with water. We cleanse our body with food. We've got to cleanse our mind, haven't we? I believe of negativity and stress and all of that, what you said, through just easing that and then having that peace of mind.
Yes, definitely. And we need that. We all need that, just to step back. You're right. I mean, our culture is so busy doing. I mean, most of our lives we're doing something or other, unless we're, fortunate enough to be sitting in a park looking at a wonderful sunset or something. But most of the time we're doing. And one of the problems with meditation, we bring that attitude of doing to meditation, which doesn't really help. So for me, meditation is a time to not do anything. We're obviously not doing anything physically because we're sitting down, we're not engaged in the world, we're not doing anything there, but not doing in the mind because we're so, our whole consciousness is do this, do that, control this, get this, whatever. It's like I can step out of that doing mode for a while.
You can
And that's
believe.
why it's so
Yeah,
easy.
no, you can let go of all your problems.
Yeah.
Let
And
go of the stress.
that's why it's so refreshing. It's so refreshing. I mean, I sometimes, I come out of meditation, I feel, phew, it's like having sort of 20 minutes vacation, 20 or a week, like a weekend's vacation in 20 minutes. Sometimes it just feels that marked difference.
That's what they say, don't they? The Buddhists say that it's like recharging your battery. You recharge your battery when you do that. And I think the more that you meditate, the less sleep that you need.
Yes. I think so because we build up a sleep debt and we need to just, when we meditate, it's like, I'm getting that rest that we get in sleep. And so if you're getting that, some of that deep rest in the day, then it's going to mean you're not going to sleep so much properly. So it really is, it's giving the system, the physical system, just that deep, deep rest that we need.
Because when you're in deep meditation, all your bodily systems calm down. The heart rate lowers, your
Yes.
breath, lower everything, all the functions, everything, doesn't it?
Yes. And research has shown it's actually the exact opposite to the stress response. In the stress response, blood pressure goes up, heart rate goes up, muscles become tense, the eyes change, all of this happens. They've shown in meditation, as work's been going on for years, that when you meditate, the opposite happens. Blood pressure goes down, heart rate goes down, muscles relax. So it's the exact opposite to the stress response. And so it's, in a way, it's just learning a way to trigger that, the opposite, trigger the relaxation. They call it the relaxation response.
I love that. That's so good. That's amazing. And tell us a little bit about your amazing book, How to Meditate Without Even Trying. And what inspired you to write that book?
Firstly, what inspired me is I've been involved in meditation, teaching meditation, practicing meditation for most of my adult life. And I've given courses, I've run groups, I've given lectures, I've made videos, but I've never gathered it all together in one place. There's lots of little bits, things I've discovered. And I realized I just want to put this all together in one place so that it's there for people to read and learn from. So all that I put in the book is really stuff I've discovered from my own experience of meditating. So it's not about what other people have said or anything or any teaching. I steer clear of any philosophical, metaphysical teaching. It's just very, very basics about how to let the mind relax. Yeah. And so how to meditate without even trying, because if you try to meditate, the trying itself makes the mind a little tense. It's going in the opposite direction to relaxing. And
You're
yet,
doing, yeah, you're doing, you're trying, you're doing.
yes, and yet everybody who comes to meditation, we have the idea, it's sort of it's in the system that meditation takes effort. You've got to try hard, you've got to practice for a long time. And so that thing of you, it's going to take a lot of effort. And particularly when people start meditating, I notice the mind going off, babbling away to yourself. You think, oh, I've got to try to stop that. That's, no one ever says you have to stop the mind thinking. It's like you have to learn how to let it relax and die down. So any trying gets in the way. And so the book is about various ways of noticing when you're trying, filtering out the effort, noticing when you're getting stuck in some resistance or emotions, all the little things that can come up in meditation that seem to be a disturbance, and it's like learning how to work with them and how to let them go, so you can keep coming back to, ah, here I am in the
Yeah.
present moment, ah, this is nice, and then something comes up and you're off again. It's like many different things can come up, and just
Yes.
recognizing here's a way to let go. So a lot of it is about ways to let go of some of the things that come up in meditation, because ultimately I think meditation is letting go. It's just really letting go.
Surrendering to the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why that analogy of the blue sky is the
Yes.
state of meditation, and then
Yeah.
the cloud will come over, and that's going to be a thought. As you're always going to get thoughts that come until you've really, really been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
But allow that thought to come, but then
Yeah.
don't get attached to that thought, because then another
Right.
thought will come and another thought will come.
Right.
Just allow it to go. Allow
Yeah.
it.
Well, what I suggest to people is just you can just choose not to follow it. The basis of my the way I practice meditation is when you notice you've drifted off from a thought. I mean, when you're in a thought, you don't notice it because you're engaged in the thought. When you notice a thought, it's like, oh, I've been thinking. You're already back in the present because you're present to the fact you've been thinking. And then what I suggest is just choose not to follow that thought any further. You can come back to it later if you want, but just choose there and then not to follow that thought any further. And you'll notice here's the present moment, and just become interested again in the present moment, what's here in the present moment. And the thoughts, by the way, we now understand what's happening in the brain, why when you sit to meditate, you have all these thoughts coming in. And it's due to something which is called the default mode network in the brain, which is normally when you're focused on a task, the attention is focused, you don't have many thoughts except maybe what you're doing because you're focused on it. When you stop focusing, which is what's happening in meditation, you'll stop focusing on doing something, the brain goes into default mode network. And it used to be thought of as the idle mode, but it's not idle at all. But in this mode, lots of different thoughts start coming up. And so it's completely natural to have thoughts in meditation when you stop the doing, stop the focusing, stop the task. It's completely natural for thoughts to come in. So don't, the first thing I said, don't feel you've gone wrong or blame yourself because you can't stop thoughts coming in. It's a completely natural response of the brain. And then the thing is to learn how to respond to that when you have thoughts, and not say not trying to block them out or stop them coming in, but just making this choice. Okay, right now, I'm not going to follow you any further. I'm just going to be interested in the present moment again. And then a thought comes in, maybe the same thought. So what you're doing is you're just coming back to being in the present. Now, normally, one thought leads to another, and we just go off on long mental discussions with ourselves. This way, what we're doing is we're interrupting that flow. People call it the monkey mind. We're like interrupting the monkey mind. Here's the monkey mind. It's like, okay, pause, step back from it. It comes back, but rather than having it continue all the way, when it's coming back, coming back, coming back.
Yeah.
And then the mind naturally begins to settle down.
Yes.
I mean, I sometimes use an analogy of if you've got a campfire and you're putting logs on the campfire, it keeps burning. If you stop putting logs on, it gradually dies down.
That's
And
right.
it's the same with the mind. If we stop putting logs on, by which I mean, that thought, we stop following the thought, just come back. We're not exciting the mind to keep on thinking. And so gradually it settles down of its own accord.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything to make the mind quiet. You can't. But if you do this practice, it's gradually the mind becomes quiet, and you realize after like 10 minutes, oh, it is a lot quieter. A
Yes.
lot quieter.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
And that's the key word. The key word is practice. I've been meditating for years, and now I go for a long time, and it just and now I go into it quite quickly, that present beautiful state. It doesn't take me long at all to get there, and then and you can just feel it. It's like vroom. Yes, it's beautiful. And it's that present moment, but that present moment is all really there is. There is no real past and future. The now is so important. As Eckhart Tolle says, there is only now. There is only now. And everything is possible in the now, because the next thought you have is changing your future in the now.
Exactly. And all our memories are happening now. When we have a memory, it's happening in the present moment. When we say we're not being present, what we mean is our attention is not on the present moment. Our attention is on some memory or something that's about to happen, preparing. So our attention is on the past or future. That's what we mean when we say we're not being present. But that's happening in the present moment. In the present moment, our attention is not on the present moment. It's on, whatever it is that's going on. So
That's
yes,
yeah.
and yeah, it's coming back. There is only now. And then, and so that's what I basically show in the book, is just it's coming back to now.
Yeah. It's
Or as
the
Ram Dass said, be here now. It's that
yeah,
simple.
be here now. I love that book. That was wonderful, his book, Be Here Now. And he the present moment, it's just, it's just, that's what it is. All there is the now. And everything, it's powerful, that powerful moment, isn't it? Of and it's being with our true self in this moment, not the ego self, which is out there, dealing with everything, the personality, the ego personality, isn't it?
If you, I mean, if when you if you start looking at your thoughts that come in, and I don't suggest doing this in meditation, but just generally in life, if you look at the thoughts that come up like that, most of them are egoic thoughts. It's like, how can I control this? How can I get this? What would happen to me if that happened? Or I'm doing well. Isn't this great? I had a good conversation with this person yesterday. Whatever it is, the thoughts are mainly egoic thoughts. So in meditation, when we're not following the thoughts anymore, we're stepping back from the ego mind. So each time you come back to the present, you're stepping back from an egoic thought to just being here now in the present moment. And so gradually you're learning how it is to be without those ego. The ego is basically trying to keep you safe. That's what it's there for. It's trying to keep you safe. And most of the time, it's totally unnecessary and gets in the way. There are times when it's very, very necessary. So people say, I've got to get rid of my ego. No, you don't want to get rid of your ego. It's very useful. It's just a bit out of control and comes in when you don't want it.
That's right.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and when you do that, the ego mind's gone, but you haven't gone. This is the point. You are still there. The ego mind has gone, but here I am experiencing the present moment. And that is not egoic thought. And it's that sense of the I am that is here in this moment is the same I am that was there yesterday, 10 years ago, as far back as I can remember, you know, way back. That sense of me-ness, that sense of I am, is the same.
Yep.
You know, I have changed, my values have changed, my personality has changed, lots of things have changed. But that sense of I am, which is really the essence of being, is always the same. Yeah. And so in meditation, we're beginning to come back to that and notice that. As the ego drops away, it's like, I'm still here. Here I am. But not caught up in all that weird preparing, wanting, doing stuff.
Yes. And that is the... the true self, isn't it?
Yeah.
The true divine self.
Yeah. I prefer to use the word pure self. It's very subtle, but I'm always a stickler with words. I tell you why. When I first started getting into this years ago, and I was reading the Upanishads and things, and they were talking about the true self, I got the impression that I was going to discover some other self, the true self, that this self isn't the real self, and that there is a true self. Which led me to the idea it's something different. And then I gradually came to realize it's just, I call it the pure self. It's the self without all these things that go on, without all the dressing of the ego mind. So it actually feels, and this is important because it actually feels the same.
Yes.
I mean, how it feels, the me that is caught up in the ego, it feels the same sense of me. It is just the I am.
It's the the soul consciousness, isn't it? It's the soul consciousness, the observing, looking out, because we are not our thoughts and we are not our feelings.
Right.
But they're transient, they come and go. But the true pure self is eternal.
Right. And you're just noticing the self in its pure form without all the dressing that goes on. So that's it, it's a technical thing, but for me, when I realized, you know, pure self for me is a better word than words that take us off looking for something different.
Yeah.
It's no, I'm not looking for something different. I'm just looking
you
for
found
what,
it.
Is already, what is already there. I'm just,
yeah,
I'm
you found it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere. It's already within you. It's who we are. It's the divine spark. It's the spark, isn't it? The soul.
Yeah.
It's like,
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's your essential being.
Yes.
We talk about being. I am is the first person of the verb to be.
Yes.
Yeah, I am, you are, he is, she is, whatever. That's the first person of the verb to be. So when we say I am, period, not I am Peter Russell, blah, 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 but it's I am, period, we're just stating how it is to be.
That's
how
right.
The being on a personal level is I am. Or I sometimes say just amming. We get like I am implies as an I that is. It's just no amming. It's just me-ness, I-ness.
Wow, that's just, it's just so profound. It's beautiful. And many teachers tell us that meditation is difficult and requires such mental discipline and concentration. Can you tell us, in your way, because, you know, this is your way, you've been meditating for 50 years, you know, tell us, there are many ways to get into meditation, and I'd really like to know, because for me, I can't have any music on, I have to have very quiet, it all has to be, you know, I can't go do mantras or anything like this. For me, that's still doing, the mind is like, I know that you can concentrate on something first, and then maybe you go into that form of meditation.
Right.
But can you tell us some forms, you know, and what you do to go into that state?
Right. So Yes, there's many forms of meditation, and some do involve concentration. They've got different goals. I mean, if you're trying to develop a particular state of mind, then you may need a particular technique of concentration on something, whatever it is. And so it's not that no meditation requires effort. Some do, some require concentration, some do take a long time to have any results. But what I'm interested in is just everyday meditation for everyday people. And a lot of the practices that are around today that seem so complex are actually monastic practices, which monks do in monasteries and things, Zen monks, Buddhist monks, they do in monastery. My feeling is these aren't appropriate for our everyday life because they take a lot of time and a lot of discipline. So for me, it's just that coming back to, as I said, being here now. And for me, how that happens is when I first sit to meditate, well, the basics are, first of all, sit comfortably. You don't have to sit in a, full yoga posture or anything. It's good to be upright. Good to be upright because you want to be alert, because we're not going to sleep or getting dull. The meditation leads to an alert wakefulness. You're alert. So sit comfortably with the back supported. And then I just take a few deep sighs. And when you just sigh like that, it's just like, you're already beginning to let go of some tension. And you can just feel the body beginning to relax and probably sink into your seat, whatever it is. And it's a sign to the body that everything is okay. I don't need to do anything right now. You're safe. The body's safe. And the mind begins to relax as well. So that's how I go into the meditation, making sure I go in from a more relaxed mode, just letting that sigh relax me. And then it's quite simple. It's just noticing what is now in my experience, because my experience is always in the present moment. As we said, our thoughts take us out. So it's what is my experience right now? I may notice here I am, there's the pressure of the seat, there's my breathing. But I don't tell people in this practice to focus on the breathing. I mean, that's another technique. But I don't suggest people focus on the breath. You notice it, it's there, there's the breathing, or there's that itch in my eye again, whatever it is, or there's some, tension in the body. You're just noticing what is there without even labeling it. It's not like, oh, there's an itch. You're just experiencing, oh, there's that. It's just that. And you'll notice lots of different things. Mind, oh, there's that. Oh, I hadn't realized that. And oh, there's the sound of the refrigerator. It's like, fine. It's just another sound. It's another part of the present. So you're just, in a way, allowing yourself to just be interested in what is there in your experience right now. And then, as we said, after a while, probably quite a short while, your mind is off on something else. It's gone off on a thought. And then just that practice I was talking about earlier, just choosing, it's a choice we make. We don't choose what thoughts come in, but we can choose not to follow them. That's where the choice is. When we choose not to follow them, the present reemerges. You don't have to do anything to become present. The thoughts were taking you away from the present. So when you stop following the thought, the present reemerges because you've taken away that which was covering the present. And so this for me is important. You don't do anything to become present. Some people think, oh, I've got to sit down, I've got to become present. How do I become present? It's like, no, you already are present.
That's
Just
right.
stop doing the mental stuff that takes you away
That's
from the present
right.
moment. Yeah.
And also, it's like, as she was talking there, it was really wonderful because it's like you are aware of the things around you because you're in that alert state. It's
Yeah.
not like you're in some trance or anything. You
Right.
close your eyes and it's just a peaceful state. And it's like your five senses slowly, you don't hear the refrigerator anymore.
Right.
Slowly, the deeper
Yeah.
you do, the more relaxed and the more calm you become, you don't hear your breath anymore. You don't hear your
Right.
heartbeat anymore. Slowly, you start to go into that complete place of bliss, that peaceful
Yeah.
state, and
Yes.
then you just stay there. And that's
Right.
the moment that you are
Right.
meditating then, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
yeah,
Well, yeah.
if the thoughts come over, then just keep bringing yourself back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You feel just more peaceful and at ease as you sink into the meditation. And so what I tell people, advise people to do is see that as part of the present moment as well. You know, I sometimes say we can be so busy meditating, we don't notice where it's taken us. And so it's like, just reflect, particularly, you know, in the deeper into meditation, near the end of a meditation, how am I feeling now compared to how was I feeling when I started? And if you're feeling some ease, just be interested in that as well, because the feeling of ease is something else that is happening in the present moment. It's another experience. And so you can put your attention there. And usually that just allows you to slip in even deeper and become to notice the ease, and you notice the inner stillness that's coming, the quietness that's there. And you can just sort of sit, almost, I say, bathe in it. It's like you might soak in a warm bath. You can just soak in this feeling of,
It's so blissful.
Contentment.
It's so beautiful.
And it's so blissful. The word bliss, I mean, it's often translated, the word that's translated as bliss is ananda from Indian teachings.
Yes, Satchit Ananda.
Ananda. If you go back and look at the root meaning of ananda, it actually means great contentment. And sometimes people think bliss is like some exotic, out of this world, ecstatic state. It can happen, but the root meaning is great contentment.
That's
and
exactly
that's what we
what.
touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what we touch in meditation. We have to go deep. It's like everything is okay. I'm okay. I don't. And it's like nothing needs to be added. There's nothing. I don't want to do anything. This is so nice. I'm so contented. There's no motivation to do anything or add anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel that, you can take that feeling into every thought, feeling, word, and action in your everyday life.
Yes.
That's what is. That's what means to be mindful. You know,
Yeah.
when you're doing the washing up, when you're waiting at a bus stop, or you know, anything that you're doing, to be mindful. You know, to
Yeah.
be in presence, not to be out of the in the oh, I should
Right.
have done that and I should have done
Right.
this in the past
Right.
or future,
Yeah.
but bringing it back to that presence in it is that's isn't it bringing that.
Yes. Well, it's that thing. Firstly, is that what we're talking about before? It's like the I am. It's like in the middle of life, as you begin to recognize that I am more in meditation, it's like you can just be in the middle of something. You know, here I am, the one that is experiencing all this. I remember years ago when I first started exploring this approach, I'd just broken up in a relationship, and it was like there was a lot of tension there, and it wasn't an easy breakup, but it wasn't bad, but just that there were emotions there and I was caught up in them. And I remember just sitting down and saying to myself, and this is where the question came, am I not the one that is experiencing all this? And the answer was yes. And as soon as that happened, it went all that emotional stuff just faded away. It's like, am I not the one? Yes, I am the one that's experiencing this. All that emotional stuff is just another experience. And here I am at the center of it all. Yeah. And I also suggest people do what I call mini meditations and micro meditations. And mini meditations are like a couple of minutes when you're stuck in traffic, waiting for the kettle to boil, on the phone, on hold, waiting for someone to come, whatever it is. You've got a couple of minutes with nothing to do. What we tend to do is think of something to do, or let me just check my social media. Let me just do that, whatever it is. Instead of that, just take a few deep sighs, deep breaths, and just come back and notice here's the present moment. Here it is. And thoughts may come in. You just have a mini meditation. And you can do that many times in the day where you've got that nothing to do. And then there's what I call micro meditations, which are very short. These are like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, where I like to do these between two tasks. So, you know, so I finish talking to you, and I'm going to go and do something else, whatever it is. I might check a message on the phone or something, or put the kettle on. In those moments where I'm shifting tasks, it's just a pause. And I have various notices around my house just saying pause. And that pause is just a stop. just stop. And you notice what you're thinking, and you just stop that. You just notice, here's my body. And so just in that 10 seconds, you can just go, ah, here I am. That was the thought that was going on. This was what was happening. Here I am. And you just have that deep relaxation and stepping back. But just, 10 seconds, you can do that numerous times a day.
Yes, that is absolutely beautiful to do that. Just stop. It's like the old saying, stop and smell the flowers, stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
No, just bring yourself back into presence.
Yes. Stop and notice the present moment.
Yes. It's
and it's it, you can just say stop. You just say pause. And again, it's that choice we're making. We're just choosing to stop, to pause. And here I am again.
Yeah. Coming out of that stress and that chaos and that flight and fight, isn't it? That,
yeah,
that you
yeah.
know, just
yeah.
which is what we're supposed to be. This is who we really
Yes.
are. This is how we're supposed to live, you know?
Exactly.
It's our true way of being.
Yes. And that's why I call it our natural mind.
Yes.
This is how our minds are naturally. They're not stressed out. But they get stressed out occasionally. There's something to get worried about. Yes, we step out of natural mind. And if you're cold, you become upset, you become discontent, and then you put something on, you put the heating on, you put more clothes on, and you feel okay again. You drop back into natural mind. The problem is, in our culture, and probably in most cultures, we're so busy doing all the other things, we hardly ever drop back into the natural mind. And so I see meditation is allowing us just to come back to that natural state of mind where everything is okay. Because most of the not feeling okay is actually self-created discontent.
Yes.
I say there's real discontent. If you're cold, that's a real discontent. There's something wrong in the world you need to attend to. And that's where the ego mind comes in, very useful. But most of our discontent is stuff we imagine. Or what if this were to happen? Or I'm worried, what if it rains tomorrow? Or
things that haven't happened.
Yeah. And I mean, Mark Twain had a beautiful quote of that. Well, he said, my life has been full of disasters, most of which never happened.
Exactly. We're always worrying.
Yes.
It's horrible to worry about things that haven't even happened yet or may never happen. Yeah.
Right. And so the worrying covers up that natural mind. Yeah.
That's right.
And it's like, and most of our worry, I think this is, I sometimes call this the sad joke about human beings. Most of our worry, we're so busy worrying or concerned or planning, how can we be happy in the future? It's all about how can we be happy in the future?
That's right.
And the worry is stopping us being happy in the present moment.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that's why I put the sad joke. If we just stopped worrying, don't worry, be happy.
That's
If we
right.
Just stop, if we just stop worrying, that contentment is there. But
yeah.
we're so busy being discontent about the future. It's almost comical, but that's where we get stuck. Yeah.
And when we are in that place of presence, that's when I believe like all the cells in our body are in that homeostasis place of content. They are healing. They're not, they're just in that natural place. That's where, we're just healing ourselves naturally in that place, in that state.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It's just so amazing. So you say that there is nowhere to get to in meditation. You know, meditation is about achieving. It's not about achieving. Well, it is a higher state of consciousness, but it's just a place of being with your true self, with your pure self.
Yes. Yeah. What I mean by there's nowhere to get to is in this particular form of meditation. As I say, there are other practices where you're trying to get to some exalted state or trying to train the mind to do something, whatever it is. In this practice, it comes back to, you know, we're always in the present moment. We are here now. So we're already there. So we're not trying to get somewhere else. We're just trying to take away the things that stop us being here. So we're coming back to where we already are in our natural state. So there is no other place we're trying to get to in this practice.
Yes.
And so because there's nowhere to get to, there's nothing we need to do. Because all we need to do, again, I've been saying, is stopping the doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me is a profound statement. And I mean, as you know, when you do drop into these quieter states, you realize there really wasn't anywhere to get to, and there really wasn't anything I needed to do. I just had to stop the doing. Mm. So that to me is a profound teaching, that there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. Yeah. Also sometimes to add to that, and no one to be.
Yeah,
Your ego isn't working. It comes in meditation, but it's not there. You're not trying to be someone. There's nobody inspecting your mind when you're meditating, judge you. you have to put on a good show in your mind so that people could say, oh, she's meditating well.
Yeah.
It's just
no, there's no judgment. No.
There's no ego there.
No. And can I ask, you know, when you close your eyes and sit, do you get light coming in, or, you know, through, or is it just you're focused in the being that you don't?
Well, to begin with, I'm not in being. When I sit down to meditate, I've got stuff going on, but, you know, maybe wound up from something. So when I first sit down, I'm not sitting in that complete easeful, restful state. And for me, closing the eyes, I'm not really looking for anything outside that. So I'm more just, I come back to really how my body feels.
Yes.
The point of closing the eyes in meditation, I mean, there are techniques where you use open eye meditation. They're more advanced techniques.
Yeah.
But closing the eyes for most people, it takes us away from being stimulated by the physical world.
Yes.
And people say 80% of our mental activity is triggered by what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And so if we close the eyes, we're just taking that input out of the system. And that allows us to be more aware of what we're hearing, what we're feeling in our body, moods and other things. But for me, no. I mean, I think deeper in meditation.
I'm like you now. I just go in. I don't need anything. Yes. I just feel it. I just, you know, every day. It's like just recharging the battery with that beautiful, peaceful place. And it's so really wonderful that you are helping people, you know, realize that meditation is so easy. It doesn't have to be this difficult.
I know. And like so many people come to meditation thinking it's difficult, going to take years of practice and effort. It's like, please let go of all that. That's not necessary at all.
Yes.
It just, people like to complexify things.
No.
It's not, in meditation, it doesn't work.
No. Just be with thyself in peace. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Peter, honestly, thank you so much for all of your wonderful wisdom. And thank you for, meditating for all these years and gathering it all and giving us the, simple, natural way to meditate. So thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
And thank you for letting me talk about it. Thank you. And for all, everything.
Lovely, lovely. Oh, Peter, that was absolutely amazing.
Great. Yes, loved
It
it.
was so
You
good, and thank you so much. It was it's profound. It's profound, and it's very important for people to read your book so that they understand that anyone can do it. Everyone
Yes.
should be doing it.
Everyone can and everyone should, absolutely.
Yes, they should have it in schools. They should have it in universities everywhere. It'd be a
Yeah.
more peaceful world if we had it everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, wonderful. So thank you very much and bless you and thank
And
you for
blessings for you too. Thank you for
lovely,
your work. Thank you.
lovely.